For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Vikings, come out and play.
Now listen to the Believe in Vikings podcast with B-Mac and Baker.
Welcome and Skol Vikings. This is the Believe in Vikings podcast. I am your host, Dustin Baker. I am here with Super Bowl champion Brian McKinney, who played for the Vikings for a decade and then went to the Ravens and the Dolphins for a year. Also here with our usual group, Sally from Minneapolis and Ron from Eden Prairie. He writes for FranchiseTag.com. And we're going to have a special guest named Henrique. He is from Brazil, and there are oodles of Vikings fans in Brazil. So we're going to pick his brain and kind of figure out how there are so many Vikings fans there in that country. It is spectacular. We will take it. But first, we're going to talk about BetOnline AG before we jump into the host of topics tonight, which will include Danielle Hunter stuff, Sheldon Richardson signing, among other items. Bashaud Breeland was another one. So that's what we got on the docket. The month of June is heating up with a ton of exciting sports action, and BetOnline is where you can find it. For example, the Brooklyn Nets are plus 350 in the money line to win the NBA championship, followed by the Bucks, Suns, and Jazz. Plus 375 for the Bucks, plus 375 for the Suns, plus 450 for the Jazz. So if you want to get in on the NBA playoffs action, slide on over to betonline.ag. From basketball and hockey playoffs to baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures, head to betonline.ag. BetOnline has the latest odds, news, and information for all of your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So for the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to betonline.ag and start playing today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. We had our first vacation of the entire history of the show. I was gone with family in the southwestern United States, so we took 1 week off, but we are back. And while I was gone, a lot of stuff happened. It kicked off with Bashaud Breeland was signed. He was rumored to be on the Vikings docket about 2 weeks ago, and then he went off to the Bears, and we said, screw him. But he came back, and now he will vie for a starting job. We also had Danielle Hunter, a little saga ended. He was announced that he would be going to minicamp, or at least it was rumored as such. And then about 3 hours later, his restructure was litigated, and he will be with the team for at least one more year. And then if that wasn't enough, we had the Sheldon Richardson edition with the gobs of cash that we somehow have, and he will return to the Vikings after a three-year absence where he went and played with Sally's Cleveland Browns for a couple of seasons. But now he's back. We'll have to figure out and talk about where he'll fit on the line because it's a very interesting topic. But we would be silly if we didn't lead with the Hunter news. We have I'm already going to mess it up. Henrique? I had it right the first time. All right. He is from Brazil. He is 20 years old. And I'm going to get this out of the way first. So there seems to be like this ruckus Viking fandom in Brazil, which I find incredibly cool. You guys won a Vikings Twitter award for the best foreign fan base. So if you can pinpoint it, sir, tell me why specifically there are so many Vikings fans in your country. We are dying to know.
Actually, I don't know either. When I started watching football, I was like, I don't think there are many people that cheer for the Vikings. But I think one of the reasons is we like to cheer for the underdog. So it's like a team that never won. I was drawn by the Vikings. One of the reasons was it. And the other is probably how I met your mom. I would be lying if I said that lots of people started cheating because of Marshall.
Really?
Well, he's awesome.
I had no idea the extent of that show would filter into football. I know yeah. of the show, but hey, we'll take it. So
kudos to Jason Siegel for getting us on the board in Brazil. So
when you were drawn out of the hat to join the show tonight, you said that you'll probably have a lot of listenership from Brazil. Now, you guys don't all know each other, do you? Or is it Twitter? Or what makes you think of that?
I think some of the guys know each other personally, but like only a few people, because Brazil is a very big country. Yeah. People like over have someone in Northeast, someone in the South, in Southeast, which is my case.
Okay.
But mostly Twitter. Like we have a big community there, as we call it, and WhatsApp. We have three WhatsApp group chats, and like almost everyone has more than 100 people in it.
Jeez. Okay. So it's a digital forum that has exploded. Okay. Well, we will take it. So you're 20. For people that are listening only, you have an Adrian Peterson jersey on. We all support that. Mm-hmm. Is he who brought you into the Vikings fold? Because you would have been what, seven when he?
Seven-ish.
Actually, I started watching the first game that I watched was Super Bowl 50 between Panthers and Broncos.
Okay.
The first season that I could watch at home, because I didn't have the games are only on ESPN here in Brazil.
Okay.
And I didn't have ESPN until Super Bowl 51. So the first season that I got to watch, Peterson was with the Saints in 2017. So I never watched Peterson playing at my home.
Okay.
But yeah, he was in Madden, he was using it in every play.
Yeah.
Like it was I was going to pass, get him to run an angle route, the access route, pass to him, or like run every single down. All just right. Like the Vikings in 2012.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was basically my playbook.
Yeah. Well, that worked to an extent that season. He got an MVP award out of it. All right. So when the Danielle Hunter news dribbled out yesterday, it was a day early because I honestly didn't think he was going to show up. I didn't have any tips from anybody that he would, but lo and behold, he did. Was that relief for you? Was that elation? Do you think it was just pushing the conversation back till next spring? What were your emotions?
I was very happy when I got the news, because we saw what happened when he wasn't on the field last year. And he got basically, I think he topped like 14 and a half sacks in 2019, and we have only 14 sacks the last year. So it was a huge addition. I don't think he would have played in 2021 without a work contract. So yeah, I was real happy.
Okay. Sally, I was on a short show yesterday for Rapid City Fox Sports' Nate Brown show, and he asked me if Hunter has an average season of like seven or eight sacks, will the Vikings still dish out the cash in good faith? What's your take on that?
I don't know. I think that it's going to depend on how that line does as a whole, because, you know, as you know, sometimes things don't show up on the stat sheet, but the significance that he still may have on the field, you know, outweighs those stats. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because it is such a big number next year. I believe it's 20 million, which I'm sure the Vikings are very relieved about, that they got him to come back without a huge commitment, like I think we were all kind of expecting mm-hmm. it was going to take. So, I mean, that will be interesting to see. I'd be curious if maybe they would go back and renegotiate again, which is something they may do regardless because of that big number. But I think Zimmer loves Danielle, and I think if one down year after an injury may happen, they're not going to necessarily cut him loose.
Okay. Ron, so do you think this is a true blue situation of where the Vikings need to wait and see for like a month, you know, how he really is, or like what is the rationale behind just making it an extension of one season?
So I think that's part of it. It's the, you know, you can be medically cleared, but maybe not medically up to speed. And I think that's, you know, probably just the good faith for the Vikings being like, look, we'll give you the money up front, but see how it plays out over the first few weeks. See, you know, he's a player who he can get a lot of accolades, let's say, without getting sacks. Like there's so many metrics, whether it's pressures or, you know, just watching him play, if he's causing an impact. So the sack number, he can come back with five sacks, but his impact would still be made. So I think as long as he looks like Danielle Hunter, and he's running around and be and active, and that neck's not lingering, then I think that it'll be a very quick and easy discussion. Like, here we go. You're healthy. We're happy to give you kind of more of what's in line with your talent. So we'll see what happens, because that'll ultimately be the biggest thing. Hopefully his neck is just A-okay.
I want to pound home the notion that unless there's something completely unforeseen that happens, that this will be the biggest news of the summer, because without Hunter, the pass rush is virtually non-existent, or at the very least, there's a lot of hopes and wait and sees between maybe Patrick Jones will be good, maybe Weatherly will be all of a sudden have a career year, maybe Wanham takes a nice little next step. To an extent, we still have that, depending on how you foreshadow Sheldon Richardson will be used on this line. But right now, a 2019 version of Hunter makes a lot of this feel a lot more comfortable. So I felt relief. I was surprised, because I really did think this was going to dribble into the summer. But on the Richardson news, we know him. He played here and had a pretty decent year in 2018. He recorded several pressures that we haven't seen since from the three technique spot. He played a bunch of snaps on the edge of the Browns line last year. He's not really built like a edge rusher. But Ron, do you think he is just another big man to pass rush on the inside of the line, or do you think that Zimmer will be creative with him?
So I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, the first thing I thought of when, you know, he officially kind of came back, this defensive line is Zimmer's wet dream, like just a bunch of bodies that you can rotate in, move around. You know, we can give a lot of 3-4 looks with Hunter and even Barr on the edge. And then you can go with the three defensive tackles. You can even do a lot of 5-2 looks, which it just helps your run defense. And then you let Barr and Kendricks kind of man the middle of that D. So it's one of those where you look at it and there's so much you can do on paper. And with Richardson, what I like about him, whether or not we moved with 3-4 or not, I don't care, because there's so many different stylistic changes that you can do. But what I love about it is if he's that 4-3 right end or left end, whatever, wherever they put him at now, good luck running on this defense with Pierce and Tomlinson in the middle, Richardson on the edge. Now, he's not your prototypical pass rusher, but a guy that if I'm looking at a 4-3 end, who I would compare him to is like at least skill set, but probably even he's better, but like an Adrian Claiborne guy who's not necessarily fast, but he's a big bodied guy, good against the run, and he generates pressure. He might not be chasing down a quarterback from the blind side, but you could, like I said, you can have zero sacks, but if you have 20 pressures, that's a good season. So I'm not too concerned about the sack number with him, but he adds another, element of the defense that Zimmer is just going to be ecstatic about.
Sally, you are our consummate realist. Is this Richardson news a big deal, or is it meh?
Well, first off, I just want to say your comment about this is going to be the biggest news. I just want you to please not jinx anything, because we could, we don't need a 2017 major injury happening. So that would definitely be bigger news. So please, let's not jinx anything.
Correct.
But honestly, you guys, I mean, if I think back to my first appearance on this show, I remember we were talking about our predictions for the team. And I remember Ron saying something like, you know, we're going to come back with no injuries and it's going to be a fresh start for everyone. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, every team in the league can say that. And I said there weren't enough changes for me to believe that the defense was going to be improved. And I couldn't be more happy than I am. And that night, you know, this week, I'm really surprised at how quickly this has all come together. So, yeah, I think it's a great move. We don't know right now how Pierce and Tomlinson are going to play together. And so I think it's great to have Sheldon there with that history with Zimmer. I think it also says a lot that he wanted to come back here and play for Zimmer, because I think that means he's very motivated to be successful under him. And I know we don't look at him as like a big pass rusher, but he did have 80 pressures in the last 2 years, which is like 13th in the league for his position. So I'm really happy about it. I mean, the defense has kind of transformed almost overnight.
Yeah, I agree. Enrique, Richardson, when you heard the news, was that a point of jubilation, or did you do you think that we could have been better served with another edge rusher?
I think the rookies we got in the draft can fill the edge two spot opposite Hunter. I really believe either Jones or Robinson can be really good NFL players, especially because, well, they have Hunter opposite them. Patterson, to me, is one of the best. He's the best D-line coach in the NFL. So I think we have. I think we are set in this position. You guys also mentioned Warren and Weatherly. One of them can make a step up in their careers. But the Richardson sign, at first, I didn't understand quite so. I didn't understand quite so much because we have Michael Pierce, we have Devin Tomlinson. But then I was like, okay, he can be a good pass rusher and passing downs on the inside. So probably subbing Pierce out because Tomlinson has a little bit more of a pass rush than Michael Pierce. Mm-hmm. And I also letting Sheldon Richardson play alongside him. But I also can see Richardson playing. And I don't know how much of that Zimmer will try to do, like he did with the Saints in the playoff game,
yeah.
That he put Daniel and Everson inside to have a better pass rush. I think he'll try to do this, but using Sheldon Richardson mm-hmm. in the place of Everson Griffin and putting Hunter inside also. But I think now it's a good sign, especially because he was really cheap. Yeah. Especially considering the contract he had in 2018, the contract the Browns gave him in 2019. I think Zimmer was really pissed after last Christmas. He don't want anyone rushing on this team.
Yeah, I agree with you as well on that. My favorite thing about this signing may fly under the radar, but it's pretty commonsensical. So if Sally's fear comes to fruition, where something does happen injury-wise, we're getting to the point where on some levels of this defense, it's close to next man up. And we didn't have that last year. And arguably, we haven't really had that in the past few years. To an extent, we have, but last year was pitiful. So let's say, for instance, something happens to Michael Pierce, where he's out for 3 or 4 weeks. Well, boom, we'll slide over Dalvin Tomlinson, and then you got your three tech already built in who wants to start as it is. And then on the cornerbacks, we've been on this roller coaster of cornerback stuff where we only had two coming in this offseason, then boom, we have five. And then one of them gets in trouble down in Texas, and then we're really skimpy again. Well, and then now we have like three dudes that I've never even heard of that we signed, plus Breland this week. So I think the lesson learned was we can't just plug and play anybody. We have to have quality depth players. So with Richardson, if anybody in the interior of the line is hurt, then we have a nice little tilt-a-whirl where we can swing one in. So I'm encouraged by that. And I like Sheldon Richardson. I remember when he was drafted to the Jets, he was pretty hot stuff. And he's been a very consistent player. He probably didn't deserve to be drafted. Was it fourth overall, Ron, that year, 2013?
Him and Muhammad Wilkerson, I always get confused who was drafted where. Yeah,
I think he was fourth. So he wasn't quite that good, but he is always consistent. His PFF grade is always in the 70s. So I welcome that back for the sheer fact that if something happens, we're not in doomsday scenario, at least on defense.
Like this year, it's kind of that next man up. If something goes down, last year it was like, oh shit, who's up?
So, yeah. Oh, and I—that was
the
one of the
first man up. Wasn't that exciting?
Exactly.
That was one of the biggest things I've ever been wrong about with Vikings football. Was I trusted Zimmer last year that no matter who it was, the defense would be average, and they were not. And I was dead wrong on that. I admitted it over and over. Like when they came back after the bye week and then the Packer game started to look better, I was like, all right, maybe it took 2 months. But no, it would continuously regress. And it feels like a century since we've had a good defense, but it's only been a year. On the Breland signing, that was, to me, was unexpected, because with all of these camp body corners that I thought we were bringing in, like Ty Smith and Paris... What's
Perry Nickerson?
Perry Nickerson. Yeah, I thought these dudes were going to be somebody that we'd lean on for CB4, CB5, and then Breland out of the blue, who we're going to expect to start. So I will ask you, Enrique, will Breland start week one?
Actually, that's one of my fears, because I think Denzel had a really good rookie season, especially for some third round pick that played with no pass rush to help him, no veteran cornerback to help him, no offseason. And actually, he was great if we put the context in. And I really think having Pete in training camp, in the meetings, will help him a lot. And I want him to start week one alongside Peterson. And like, I think Breland would, in my if I was a Zimmer, would be more like a depth player, you know, someone that had a Super Bowl ring, knows what it takes to win a big game, and knows what it takes to get to the big game. And of course, if something happens, like hopefully not an injury, but it's like one of the two gets tired, we have someone that can play. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that Breland's more like a corner three to play like a insurance plan, a really good insurance plan, because it was also kind of cheap to what I was expecting of him. And but yeah, it's not like I don't want him to start, but I don't want him to start with one.
Well, here's the deal, and this is kind of a childish fear of mine. And you're on Twitter, sir, so you should recognize this. He's kind of combustible, his personality. So I'm fairly certain he's going to get his snaps. And if that if that's because he's combustible and loud, well, then that's just who he is. And I, too, would not want to see a backseat of Dantzler. But Breland is a guy who has really started every step of the way. And I don't think that's by accident. So I trust Zimmer to figure this one out. We shall see if that pans out. Sally, what is your take on the Breland edition? If you said you liked a lot of the depth, you probably liked that one, but elaborate, please.
Well, of course I like the depth, especially after what you mentioned we went through last year with cornerback. It is surprising, as you mentioned, given how deep that position is right now on the roster sheet. I do resent you a little bit that you kind of forced me to DM him and he didn't reply, but I guess he didn't know he was going to play here then. So now I'm going to have to try again.
I gotta give the story to the people that are on Twitter. I do ask Sally to do my bidding sometimes because she's significantly more attractive than me. And so she's a better grab for guests, but here's the deal. I don't usually just send her blindly into men's DMs. Bashad Breland, one night about a month ago, said, "I wish I could jump on a podcast right now." I looked around in my living room and said, "I got like an hour and a half where I have to go to bed. And conceivably, I could hit up these, you know, the three amigos here and get on the podcast." So I shot my shot. He didn't respond. And I said, "Hey, Sally, he probably wouldn't ignore you." And lo and behold, he may have done that. But so that was the adventure that I sent her on. And now it's documented for the open world to know.
Well, it was a lot juicier without the context. Context isn't that important in the story. But, you know, he wasn't on the Vikings then. He had done his visit. He obviously was not satisfied about something based on his tweets. It was obvious that there was some communication that didn't line up there between the two, and especially since he went around to check out some other spots, like you mentioned, the Bears. So I guess we can try again. But like you said, and what was the word that you used to describe his personality?
Combustible.
Yeah. And I think that can be definitely a good thing, especially I think we really lacked that last year in the locker room and in a lot of positions, offensively and defensively. So again, the veteran presence, I don't think you can really even explain how much of a difference I think that's going to make. But yeah, Cam Dantzler, of course it would be great if he was the day one starter. I think that we all wish that for him. But if not, it's nice to have a little bit of a safety net for sure. And I think Enrique mentioned that the price was right with him. I'm not an elite salary cap mind, but I know he like signed for the minimum and then he has like bonuses mixed in. So
we're at a point with the cornerbacks that if Gladney figures out, or if the legal system figures him out and he actually plays in 2021, I don't know. We really have room for him. So I'm guessing, you know, just by the breadcrumbs, the tea leaves, that he probably won't play, or he'll be suspended for a long time, or maybe the Vikings are just waiting for a good time to release him. I don't know. Ron, so on any given Sunday, the max
three cornerbacks can start. And in a 4-3 defense, actually, there's only really supposed to be two. But in those nickel packages, of course, we'll have a third one. Which one is the odd man out? Peterson, Dantzler, Breland, or Alexander?
So I think, and this is just me going off of like Zimmer and how he operated last year. Like obviously, I think Dantzler has cemented himself as the starting cornerback on the outside. Peterson coming in is now that second guy again, who's one and two, doesn't matter. Those are the two starters. I think what Breland brings, like, yes, he's an outside guy primarily, but he also brings some versatility to that slot position because he's a very good tackler. He's strong and physical. So he might not be the quick twitch that Mackenzie Alexander is, but what I see is, there's going to be a rotation, like much like our D-line, there's going to be a rotation in our secondary as well. Really, I only see two players on defense that, if healthy, are going to play 100% of the snaps, and that's Harrison and Kendricks. I think everything else is going to be interchangeable. You may even see Patrick Peterson slide into the nickel and let him go after the quarterback a little bit because he, you know, has had some of that experience, you know, going back to his LSU days and then even with the Cardinals a little bit. They moved him around, you know, granted he'd shadow the number ones, but when he was blitzing, you would know. Now there might be a little bit more of a disguise because you don't have to worry about throwing Alexander on the outside where he might not be suited to play well. So I'm excited for the chess pieces that Zimmer is going to be able to pull this year because, you know, we all know he is a very intuitive mind. And I think it bodes well for him as who he is as a defensive coach. Now that's two guys this offseason that have come back after signing elsewhere that right away, like, you know, even Cleveland wanted Richardson back and he didn't stay. Alexander came back here for a minimum. So, you know, whatever it is, whatever he's doing, you know, I'll be happy to see it, to see a defense match what the offense did last year. So.
Yeah. I'd like to admit that I was wrong about that. I think that's another point that I made early on. I take responsibility when I'm wrong. I did say that I thought that was an issue that guys were getting frustrated with Zimmer. I don't think that's happening on the defensive side necessarily anymore. So I'm going to eat crow on that. But am I spacing on something? Did we get a replacement for an Anthony Harris at safety, or are we?
Xavier Woods.
Yeah. Oh, duh. Okay.
We paid like $2.5 million for him.
Yeah. And he's also on a minimum. But what I like about his game, he played in Dallas where they had no defense for a while, and his best years when he was there was when Byron Jones was playing safety alongside of him. Byron Jones, the cornerback, but granted he was a very good safety, but he's an elite cornerback. So now Xavier has Harrison Smith next to him, so that'll help him. I mean, I think at the very least you're getting a kind of a side-by-side comparison of what Anthony Harris is able to do, that deep cover corner or deep cover safety in the middle of the field.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so exciting to have all this depth on defense, but I mean, especially at corner, how many we have. Who knows if during training camp, heaven forbid, another team experiences some sort of injury or something, we really have a lot of leverage there that maybe we can get future draft picks or a wide receiver three, maybe. And I just feel completely different about the team, and I think that it's going to help the offense a lot.
Yeah, we had Joe Johnson on here 2 weeks ago, and he is the self-professed eternal panicky pessimist of the Minnesota Vikings.
He changed.
And even he, I can tell you what did it. It was, and this is a beautiful transition. I didn't even plan, seriously. It was Wyatt Davis. That's what he was waiting for. He was doing the table pounding for Wyatt Davis because Davis was a first-round talent last summer. Moink meat is so delicious. We love it, and you will too. Get Moink right now. Moink was founded by an eighth-generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said it's the best bacon he's ever tasted, and we agree. And Jamie Siminoff, creator of the video Ring Doorbell, invested in Moink as well. Why do just four companies control 80% of the meat industry? Because big food crushes a little guy. You can help change that with MoinkBox.com. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/BLEAV right now, and listeners to the show will get free bacon for a year with every box that is ordered. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste for a limited time. Spelled M-O-I-N-K, box.com/BLEAV. M-O-I-N-K, box.com/BLEAV. That's moinkbox.com/believe. I guess his stock fell because he didn't have an elite 2020. A lot of people didn't. So when Joe Johnson saw Davis come to this team. I think it aligned with his vision, and therefore he's excited. The one thing I want to mention, and this is a little spooky, is that all of these deals are one-year deals. So it feels like Spielman either – maybe that was all the leverage or bargaining chip that he had, but it's like – it's we're all in for this year. And so it's got to.
I don't think that's necessarily just on the Vikings. I think that's the way the salary cap is expected to go up next year. Okay. I think most players were looking for that 1 year deal so they can capitalize next year.
Okay. Well, that's a very valid point. Cause I keep looking at it. It's like all of these 1 year deals. Why can't we get one of them for three or so? But so on Wyatt Davis, to me, that is the next big story of this summer. We know we pretty damn sure that Darrisaw will start. If you can't start your left tackle draft in the first round, that would be vintage Vikings doing that. So let's hope that Darrisaw is a shoe-in. For Davis, though, that third round is kind of the cutoff where it's like, will he or won't he? Is he ready? Is he not? There was some Zapruder film that showed him practicing with the first team yesterday. So my utopian vision is that he's ready and that we don't have to have any weird combination of offensive line. Enrique, do you think that is realistic, that we will see Davis at the, right guard position week one, or are we going to have to go with Mason Cole or Dakota Dozier?
I hope we can see Wyatt Davis at right guard Bengals, because as you mentioned, his competition is Mason Cole and Dakota Dozier. I have zero trust in both, like zero. But I think the Vikings started to do the transition for Davis to start week one. We saw Ezra Cleveland start playing left guard since the beginning of OTAs. I think that was a sign that Davis was going to play. Maybe at a time, not right away, but like 2-3 weeks tops. Like, I think Seattle was like my, okay, he's at mostly starting this week against Seattle. But I think I haven't seen all of OTAs. Mm-hmm. Minicamp started today. We still have training camps to do. But I think he played well enough in those trainings to deserve a first team rep. We know that Zimmer always says that the rookies have to earn their play time.
Yeah.
Darrisaw probably hasn't had the first team reps because of his injury. I think maybe only in training camps we'll see him protect blindside Cousins. But I think we will see Wyatt Davis week one. And I think it's really good because he was a first-round talent.
Yeah.
He had an injury like middle of the last season. And he still had a good season, of course, in the context of his injury. But I was really happy we were able to snag in third round.
Okay. Sally, Wyatt Davis starting week one, yay or nay?
Well, that would be the goal. I think, yeah, Dozier, I mean, you know how it goes. That would be the goal. I think it's probably more realistic that he maybe is technically the starter, but it's much more of a rotation than, say, the other players. Of course, it's always nerve-wracking if you're going to have two rookies on the line. So, I mean, that I'm definitely hopeful. But then I think back to our pal Jordan Reed, and I know he absolutely loved the pick, which I think almost everyone out there has praised the pick. But he said that he didn't know he was necessarily a day one starter. He definitely had some things to work on. But hopefully he has a brilliant camp and we can get that done.
Always remember on that pick, and then you can also throw Kellen Mond in there for you listeners, is that to me, those will always feel like free players because we very reasonably could have selected Christian Darrisaw at the pick number 14. Somehow he slipped. I saw oodles of mock drafts where Darrisaw went to us or before 14. So the fact that Spielman serendipitously was able to trade out of the spot, nine spots, have Twitter meltdown because of it, and then get two more players for free and get Darrisaw on top of it, to me, it's always going to be gravy for both of those men, especially Mond, because it's a free quarterback prospect to have a look at. Maybe that's just my optimistic take. What about you, Ron?
Did you see what photo Enrique used for his submission to be on the show tonight?
Oh, yeah. You want to elaborate on that, sir?
What? Sorry?
What photo you posted for your entry to be on the show tonight?
My boy, Janarius.
Yeah, let's hear your speech on him.
First of all, I saw Andre Patterson's interview after the draft. He said every draft he has like one player that he says, I really want to coach this guy. And this year was Janarius Robinson. So that's 1,000 reasons to be excited about. One of the best coaches in the league wanted this guy. I think he has not like the new Hunter, but has a really similar body type of Hunter, like long arms. He's kind of slim, but I think he has a huge untapped potential. I think he can reach here in Minnesota. And I want in my predictions, we did this in our podcast in Portuguese. I said that probably we couldn't start. It would be one or Weatherly. And week 18, my prediction was Janarius Robinson as starter beside Hunter.
That's bold because he'd have to usurp Patrick Jones, and that's no small feat based on his scouting report.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we'll remember it. If it happens, we will flag you out and give you credit.
We haven't recorded, so we will. Yeah, you
were right. Sally will actually chop it into a video, and then then you'll become famous and Vikings.
Absolutely. Nothing better than saying you're right on Vikings Twitter.
Ron, before we hand the show off to Sally and our lighthearted segment, give me your opinion. I know what you want to happen, but do you realistically think that Davis will start week one, or we have to taper expectations?
So I guess realistically, I think, I mean, and this isn't the Viking fan in me or what I would do, but realistically, I think, yes, I think he has the inside track to start week one. Now there's two ways to look at it. When we drafted Brian O'Neill as was it second or third round, he was considered a project player, you know, transitioning from the D line into the offensive line. So they didn't want to start him right away, and they kind of slowly brought him along. And then when Remmers just, you know, was Mike Remmers, then they let O'Neill take over. I think with Davis, I think the difference is if he is healthy. And I think that was the biggest, over the last few weeks of the, I think it's an ankle injury that he's dealing with. I think if he's healthy, he clearly has the inside track because like Sally said, like Ezra Cleveland is the left guard. Like they were anticipating keeping Wyatt Davis at his spot. Also, it's not like we have a plethora of options there. It's either Dozier or Drew Samia, who both of them are turnstiles and are just bad. So, and I envision Mason Cole being that, that swing player for depth that you need. You need quality guys like that. Him and Rashad Hill, I think, are the perfect guys for the to round out the offensive line. So if healthy, I think Davis, the situation is different with him than it is with O'Neill because he was so highly touted coming out of Ohio State. He was one of the top guards, you know, returning for college, and he opted out, then opted back in, and then, you know, played subpar. So but someone who goes to a great school like that, who's been good for, you know, like every year he was there, they were in national championship contention and he was a starting guard. So he's not raw. He's not a project. If he's healthy enough, he's going to be the week one starter.
On O'Neill as a project, the dedicated listeners will recall Jordan Reed said that too, that was one that he learned a lot from in his job, was that he perceived, you know, in his heart of hearts that O'Neill was a project player that wasn't ready. Well, he was ready. And I think a lot of us perceived O'Neill as that. And you just never know. It's kind of what I have my internal feelings about Mond. So for instance, when Dak Prescott was drafted, he wasn't supposed to take over for Romo in the preseason. He wasn't supposed to be that good. He was supposed to be like Mond, like down the road when Romo transitions out, we'll see what this Prescott character has. Well, Romo never played again. So I will be very curious until we see what Mond really is. Maybe he is ready. Maybe all of these reports, he's not very accurate. Maybe when the bright lights turned on, like McKinney has said, maybe he is a stud. So because he's on our team, I'm very curious as to if he has it. I know because of Cousins' contract, I'll have to wait to find that out, but I'm prepared to do that. Speaking of McKinney, he's never missed a show. He said he was going to be late tonight. That's why you haven't heard him chime in. I haven't seen him yet, but I want to promise to you, Enrique, if he doesn't show up tonight, we'll have you back on an August show with McKinney because it's a raw deal. We have you on with one of our Vikings legends, and then he doesn't show up, so you'll be able to hold me to that. Now,
he got us to
it would be an honor.
Would you say so?
Switch days, and he's not here.
Yeah, he had some event tomorrow night, and when he has events, you know, they're really pretty scandalous by the title. So I wanted to ask him, but he and I don't really have that rapport. That's more of a Sally and a Bryant thing where she needles him for, you know, what type of sultry thing do you have going on tonight there, homie?
And I know, I got
he usually
it.
Blushes and, you know, he gets that big smile and he's like, hey, it ain't no thing.
He's very shy. I'm very surprised about that.
Yeah, it is. That is weird. I think one of my favorite Bryant moments was when he had to be all quiet about a month ago and it sounded like he was talking like Barry White the whole podcast when he was all like, yeah, I think that I think Darrisaw has a lot. And it was just out of character for him. It was all
him in Columbia.
Yeah, that was the one.
But then he loved talking to Christian. Like, that was so cool. Yeah, much he like really connected with him. So
yeah, it had like a family reunion type of vibe where he was catching up with one of his old cousins or something. I think that just because they share that kindred left tackle soul.
Yeah.
So on my vacation, I re-listened to our podcast with Joe, and that segment we talked about some of our memories was a spectacular one, and that was Sally's idea. So we want to maybe not do that one again, but have something in the same vein. So Sally, what do you have for our lighthearted segment? You had a better title for it when you came up with it, but
I already forgot. I'm on the spot. but okay, I know I keep going back on things. With the Kellen thing, I think it's very interesting that we are out of this Daniil talking point that we thought was going to be our storyline of controversy. And you threw in the Kellen thing, which I didn't necessarily see coming. So,
yeah, well, what if he's ready? What if the kid was just built for this? We're not going to know.
You're going to upset a lot of people with this what if, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see for sure.
Well, I think I've earned my keep to throw something out there like that.
No, I agree.
Here's the thing. If he does overtake Kirk, like, and I mean, you and I, Dustin, I know like Sally, you're a little lukewarm on him. You and I are Kirk fans. Like, I mean, I think he's a very good quarterback. At times he has his downfalls, but he's a very good quarterback. But if Mon comes in and just takes the job, I'll be ecstatic. Like, much as I like Kirk, it's like, hey, we finally drafted someone, develop and let him roll. So I won't be against that. No, but I don't think it's gonna happen for a little while. But I like that we have a developmental guy in the works because we as Vikings fans have never had that since Dante Culpepper. We've never drafted and developed a quarterback. I mean, granted, like Teddy, you know, yes, he was, you know, he had potential, but Christian Ponder
right now. Hope he's not listening.
Well, okay, let me rephrase that. We've never had drafted and developed a quarterback while we've had someone competent available.
Yeah.
We have a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, Tavares Jackson over Brad Johnson or whatever. We have now a legit starter and we have a guy that we can groom.
So, we never have
kind of like what they have in Green Bay a little bit. Just kidding. Sorry. Taking notes.
We've never, at least in my lifetime, had this sunset scenario where it's gravy. If Cousins brings to fruition what I believe he can. But if he just doesn't get it done and we go 7-10, then, you know, it's time for Mon. So, but yeah, it's such, for me, really foreign territory because I started watching when it was go find the best 37-year-old and hope that he brings his prime back.
Yeah, for sure. I think we all have trauma associated with that. But before we move on to the next thing, I wanted to ask you guys earlier, are any of these cornerbacks that we talked about with the depth, do you think any of them have special teams potential? Because who are we looking at right now for returns and stuff like that?
I think Emir or Wango. All right, two rookies.
The new running back.
Yeah.
But didn't he say something like, I've never caught a punt or a kick? It was either or.
Perfect.
You can only do one.
Well, they both, like the running back, and I'm not going to even try to pronounce his name. He was strictly a return guy at Iowa State. And Amir, I remember he returned, I think it was a punt to break the Iowa or touchdown record or something that he had, like, and it was on a punt that he needed to get it and he did. So I mean, I think the running back is strictly, he's going to be your kick returner and punt return, whether it's BB or, you know, if you need a big return, Patrick Peterson's going to be a guy that you can see go back there because of his pedigree there. So
okay,
yeah, all you need to do is not KJ Osborne in face mask, drop it. You just need someone to catch it on a punt. So kick return's a little different, but
I didn't know we would consider Patrick Peterson for that, given the circumstances. But that's
exciting. I think just as a safe option, or if you need a big play, not a regular one.
If you see him back there returning punts, that will have meant that shit went wrong in the first half.
Yeah, probably.
All right, so let's chit chat. Enrique, I'm sorry if this doesn't apply to you, since you know you don't really have access to a lot of jerseys. But I'm curious for you guys. What is your favorite jersey that you've purchased that really worked out for you? And then what is one that you have big regrets about?
Oh, and Enrique, do you want to take that one or not?
Okay. I think my favorite one, of course, is the Pearson jersey. It was my first one. I don't want to tell the one that went bad, because you will all probably kill me, along with all Vikings fans, because first let me explain. When I bought it, I didn't know the Vikings and Saints had a rivalry. I didn't know, because like I started watching 2016-17, and like the 2009 season is not like talked too much about it here. Mm-hmm. So I bought it's the only original jersey that I have. It's a Breeze jersey. I have it here in my closet. Yeah. And also the soccer team that I cheer is Santos, which translates to Saints. So in the beginning, I liked Saints. It was a team like, oh, okay, the name is similar. So let me like watch the games. And I really liked Drew Brees as a quarterback. As a person, not so much, but as a quarterback, he was a damn good quarterback. So I bought his jersey. And I don't use that much now, but yeah, it was. I don't have any regrets, because I also like the jersey; it's beautiful. But I will probably, if I could gain the money back, I would buy like a Vikings jersey.
Okay, fair. Well, that's all that matters.
Ron, what's yours?
So, okay, I may catch hell from a lot of Vikings fans myself on this, because I'm not going with a Vikings jersey as my favorite one. And I really wish McKinney was on for this, because he, I think I get some brownie points with him. It's my Sean Taylor jersey, because I happened to buy it. A week before he was shot. So Sean Taylor was one of my favorite players, mainly because of how dominant I was with him in Madden, but also, you know, back in his Miami days. And I love the guy. So, you know, I was back in college. So, you know, money wasn't, you know, easily accessible, but I'm like, I got to get this Sean Taylor jersey. And I did. And then literally like the next week, cause it was like right around my birthday, he gets shot. And, then it got delivered before he passed, but I know he was on McKinney's team. He's a freshman that didn't play much, but that would be my favorite. The least favorite. The one that I probably hit and missed on that a lot of people did was Cordero. So that was one I was, I was a big fan of just him, as, you know, I loved his playmaking ability, his size, and everything that he brought to the table. Fortunately, he didn't put it together on the field. But I will say this. So, I've lived and worked in Eden Prairie for, you know, over a decade now. So I used to play basketball at the flagship court. So a lot of those players would come and play there. And Cordero was one of the nicest, funniest guys out there that came and played. He was also, you know, the professional athlete that would pick up like everyone from beyond half court and full court press while running his mouth. So that was kind of funny, but he was all in fun out there. So would have been nice to have him back, but just as a returner, I know Sally, you're not the biggest fan of his,
but as a person, he has a great personality.
Yeah. He didn't pan out as a receiver, but it's all right. So
yeah. We should ask Brian about that sometime, about Sean. I mean, I know it's kind of depressing, but I'm sure he has a really interesting perspective, you know, to share about that.
Yeah. I don't have any ill will towards Patterson. I've said that before, but I don't regret the pick. I think that when it's all said and done, he has a reasonable chance to be a Hall of Fame returner.
Yeah.
I think the Vikings drafting him, it'll look nice and shiny in Canton. And it's just common knowledge. He wasn't a very good wide receiver, but I don't have any qualms with that. In the review and stuff.
Just the position and what was given up is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair.
If it was
for me, for me, it's more of like when I like buy a jersey, I want the longevity or like, you know, someone that's lasting that, you know, that it like, and one that will like, what I always say is like, it'll outdo time. Like, so that when they may go on somewhere else and retire, but then, you know, like say Kyle Rudolph is a perfect example. If you have a jersey of his, he's someone where once he retires, like you can be comfortable wearing that jersey proudly because of, you know, what he meant to the team and the city and everything. Whereas someone who played a handful of years and, you know, didn't really like make the impact that you would have expected. Like Adrian Peterson had no problem wearing his jersey because it's Adrian. So, but there are some players that, I probably should say one I regret, but I didn't buy it. It was like given to me at a bar, like on a drunken night by some guy off his back, was a Darren Sharper jersey. So it's no longer my possession, but, this was long before anything came out, but,
I can't have any glory on here.
In your own segment,
seven
too,
answers. You had seven answers, Ron. I have nothing left to choose from.
We can cut it up and then.
wait. Can I just tell the story of the Peterson jersey that I forgot? I bought it on my birthday, which is February 24th. I bought it in 2017. And like, I was sure he was going to be back in Minnesota. I was sure he would do. And then it took like a month and a half. And I bought it like 2-3 weeks later. I read Adrian Peterson signing with the Saints. I started crying. Because like my first jersey, I won't be able to see my favorite player, like watching the game of my favorite player wearing his jersey. So it was sad, but like I love the jersey because it was my first. So I was really sad that he didn't came back to Minnesota. But Adrian Peterson, if one day you hear this, I just know that I love you. Okay.
A shout out. I have oodles of jerseys. And Ron will appreciate this. So I would say about 6-7 years ago, I just subconsciously underwent a transformation of style where I didn't wear really big baggy clothes anymore or hooded sweatshirts that were 2XL. My thin frame can now slip into a medium sized shirt or hooded sweatshirt. So I have all these jerseys that are huge. But that's a segue to my favorite jersey is my Chris Carter jersey, because he is my favorite Viking of all time. Randy Moss was more for me, more exciting and did more for my Viking fandom. But Chris Carter is a recovered alcoholic, just as I am. So when he talks, I understand what he's saying more so than any other athlete. So if forced to pick a favorite jersey and player, it's Chris Carter. Indeed, I have a Ponder one. I was excited. I was, 28 when he was drafted. And I thought, all right, he looks like a smart dude. That'll probably translate to wins. And there were times where he was relatively competent in games. And that one obviously panned out. And then I think I have a Diggs in every color. And so I certainly don't regret those. I have this weird thing with every Vikings player, even if they're garbage outside of Sharper, that to me, when they leave the team, they just kind of feel like they're extended family members, like they're my distant cousins. And so I don't have a problem at all wearing like my Xavier Rhodes jersey. Some people might think that's weird, but that's, So Sally, what's yours?
Well, I was going to say my worst is definitely Darren Sharper for obvious reasons, but the reason I got it is because he went to my neighboring high school and I was actually really good friends with his cousin. And back then I used to have a fetish for players that willingly left Green Bay to come to Minnesota. That like really got me off back then. Not so much anymore, but I just loved him. And then when he went to the Saints and how awful Bounty Gate and what a participant he was in that. We can leave what happened, was actually happening during that, but that we didn't know about out of it. I mean, I regretted it since that day. But anyway, as far as favorite, I have really good luck with jerseys. I don't really have any, it's just because of my player evaluation talent. I don't really make bad purchases. But I would say I have two teddies and there's just no reason for anyone to have two teddies. So wait, that's another negative. positive. Oh, Anthony Barr. Anthony Barr would be my favorite because I get to wear it. I wore it in 2017 to Lambeau for that game that it was actually a shutout and it was a primetime game. So they were all lit up and they were very upset that I was wearing that jersey. So that's my best memory in a jersey for sure.
Okay. Yeah. That's so you, what's your, Sally, I'm curious as the female on the panel, what's your criteria? Will you buy a rookie jersey or do you have to wait or do you have a set parameter?
Well, for me, I've decided that I'm done buying jerseys, mostly because fashion for women NFL fans has come a long way. And now we have more options that are more flattering and fit better, aren't hot, and are less, not as much of an investment, you know? So I think I'm pretty much done with them. But if I were going to buy one, I don't think I would get a rookie. I think it needs to be more of a proven player. And I really am into defensive players. So probably would be a cornerback or defensive line. I don't know. They just aren't flattering. They just aren't, you know, they're not doing much for me. And they're really hot.
When you're
tailgating, you know, it's hot out there.
All right. Well, Enrique, McKinney did not show up tonight and that's very uncharacteristic of him. So, Sally, I will message you probably in the next couple of weeks to nail down a time when you can come back and you can bring the country of Brazil with you once again. That way you can meet McKinney cause he's a big gentle giant and, you certainly deserve to meet him.
It would've been an honor.
It's upsetting because I need to talk to him about this weekend.
Yeah, I know. He's supposed to be in town.
He's still going to be here despite the conflict.
Yeah.
So
does he respond to your text messages? Yeah.
I don't text him.
I gave you his phone number.
I know, but I don't want to be annoying. I don't want to be annoying. Like, hey, what's up? Can we get together for those photos after you leave Eden Prairie Mall? What's up? Like, you know.
All right,
hey, well, can I crash your WP party at 7? No. All
right. Well, it seems like you need a middleman here, so I will figure out
start a group chat for the Believe crew. And
yeah, don't bug him. He knows that he's going to be here, and he can hit me up if he so chooses.
Okay, we're still working on. So he's the conduit of all of our guests here. Sally brought in Jordan Reed, and I can probably. Get some of the Twitter dudes that I know, like Chuck Foreman and Time and stuff like that. But McKinney really is the arbiter of all of the guests. And so he's been reaching out, or I think he said he was going to reach out to that Vikings front office.
Tom West.
Yeah, to see if we can get Wyatt Davis or Patrick Peterson. So we will keep everybody abreast of that. Enrique, I appreciate you joining. Spread the word in your native land that you'll be back and you'll get to actually meet McKinney. And then next week we will be back on Wednesday night, unless something comes up to talk more of this purple and gold stuff. Anything else from the group?
No. Can I make a request only?
Yeah.
If you guys get Kirk Cousins on this podcast, can you ask him to give a shout out to Brazil? Because if you think in the US people like really hate on him, you have no idea how it is here.
Do they love him then?
They hate him bad.
They hate him.
Basically, everyone apart from Vikings fans, even some Vikings fans, but like the work we are doing here, we're being able to like change people's mind about him, like show that he's a good quarterback. But after we don't have too many games live here, we got like I think 3. Noon, 2, we have all of the primetime games, but it's rare to see a Vikings game on TV.
Okay.
So not many people get to watch Kirk Cousins actually playing, so they hate him, of course, without watching him, because if they watch him, they wouldn't hate on him. So we try to make like a huge work to spread the word. We make a joke that we founded a religion about him. We call it Cousinism.
They have that in Green Bay too, I think.
We are spreading the word. So
I wonder if your countrymen hate him if they hate me as well. I wonder if I have a suspect reputation
out there. No, actually, you are well known in,
really?
In the Vikings group chats. Yeah, that's very well known.
That's cool.
Most of us like you because, you know, you defend Cousins as well. Like I said, most of the hate comes from people that aren't Vikings fans.
Okay.
So they don't watch and, like, they keep saying that their car is better than Cousins. Got up is better than Cousins, like, these kind of things. And we laughed or we tried to, like, say no. You have, like, just no. Just Cousins simply better. So, yeah, if you manage to get him the podcast, if you guys remember to ask him that, okay. We would really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, you can always send those pals of yours my way, too, if they're if they're getting too boisterous. So, all right. Well,
we better learn Portuguese than Dustin.
Ron needs credit for his low-hanging fruit joke there. People, I think, will be into it.
I missed it.
Repeat it.
Well, when he mentioned that they have a religion for cousins called cousinism, I said they have that in Green Bay too.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. No. Yeah. Then we needed to make. Hopefully, now I say this about once a month. Hopefully, when the Believe people take the little sound bite, they use that one. That'll be solid. All right. We'll be back next Wednesday night, maybe with an extra player guest. We aren't sure yet, but we will keep you posted on that on Twitter. And that's all we got. So, Skol Viking.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.